Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com/somewhere. That's help, HELP.com/somewhere.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, how are you? Thank you for coming back for all of these years. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundson.
A very special middle of somewhere, ladies and gentlemen.
Join us this week on a very, very special middle of somewhere where we tell you not to do drugs.
A meaningful middle of somewhere because we believe... If you are listening to this on its release date on Monday, we believe that is the official half-decade anniversary of this show.
Yeah. We believe it's number 5. We believe I can touch the sky.
Here's now what we should also point out. We believe that the amount of research that one of the two of us put into this is the amount of research that he puts into everything else. And therefore, when you go and do the work and find out... Basically, I saw a Facebook memory that was announcing when our podcast was starting. And I was like, well, that's Monday. And so we're pretty sure, but I think we should go with allegedly.
I'd like to go with allegedly. It's our alleged 5-year anniversary today while you're listening. If you are listening on Monday.
Alleged anniversary sounds like 5 years ago you beat a court case.
But it actually makes sense because of leap year, it would push us. It would 2 leap years would push us. I think you're right.
Dude, listen to this. Anniversary show on an eclipse week? What the fuck are we talking about?
Plus, you look like a werewolf with your beard.
Thank you. I felt alive during the eclipse. The eclipse? What happened there?
You put a Q in it.
Well, hey, we went down to the eclipse. Oh, that thing where the moon blocks the sun? No, the eclipse? It is a very...
That's where they give you the bullets.
Yeah, that is
they give you down. You go to equips. They equip you with your ammunition and
whatever
shit.
Weapons you need to survive whatever situation you think is about to befall the country. Yeah, that come on down to equips and get you.
You go down to equips and you get yourself a case of them beans. But make sure you have a can opener in your bunker, or you're gonna have to gnaw through that fucker with your nub teeth.
Here it equips. Let's not do it. Let's not do it.
Yeah.
Or as an anniversary show, how about the whole show is just you and I pitching different products that they have at Equips?
5-year anniversary. A very special everyone stops listening.
48 minutes later, it's like, and guess what? We got those knives that they have the blade in the middle of them, and then you push a button and shunk, it comes out. So if you punch someone and then you shunk it, you can punch, stab them, and they didn't even realize you stabbed them. Come on down to Equips, you fucking beta. I'll teach you how to fight.
Yes. So those of you can't see it. He goes, come on down to Equips, you fucking beta. I'll teach you how to fight. And then he reached for his tart cherry smoothie. Well, it was one of the greatest things I've seen.
Well, let me tell you, one thing that we have learned here at Equips is that if you have an inflammatory condition, it will affect your ability to defend yourself by using the Second Amendment. Because these rifles got a fucking kick on them. And if you got shoulders that are bad, you better pound that cherry juice before you go out and pound the bad people in society. Let's not...
As y'all know, because of the plandemic, it is hard to find employees. So I'm having to close Equips early today to get down to my other store. The location is on Freedom Street. And it is... that company's called I Have a Disease. It's a smoothie shop.
So, did I tell you that I was getting my car, obviously, not obviously, but obviously to you and me, because we were just talking about it. I was just in Asheville. You were just in Boston and New York.
That's Asheville with an A, because a lot of times he'll say in Asheville, and it sounds like he's saying Nashville because he holds the N too long.
Oh, like I thought you were inferring that I was saying, like, I'm in Asheville.
No, not like Asheville. I'm saying Asheville because you're saying I'm in Nashville, and it sounds like you're in the bachelorette party capital of the world.
Which Asheville is not far behind. I went to Asheville. I went to Asheville years ago and did the comedy night they had at the that big hotel there that the Yoders used to book. And it was like this cool, sleepy little hippie art town. Yeah. And now it is very Nashville, Austin, bachelorette parties, girls' night out. And I don't know. I still think there's a lot of artists there, but I think there are a lot of people who are like, my parents put $8 million in an account. And so now I moved to Asheville and I sell macrame art.
Okay. So well, I think that's an interesting place. I've never been there.
No, I had a very nice time. I'm just telling you. And I loved
it. Doesn't sound like it. So everybody in Asheville looks like you could have done a little better.
I loved it. I had a wonderful time. As you know, for years now, the mountains have been calling. I got to answer that call. I went up into the Black Ridge Parkway. I drove up to something called the Pisgah Inn. Is a real thing that it's called? The Pisgah Inn. Yeah. And there were a bunch of people who, there were two types of whites at the Pisgah Inn. There were eldered whites and there were NASCAR whites. Those were the two specific flavor of whites, nothing else. And
Came straight from Equips, I would imagine.
And I went out and I stood on the lookout and I ventured out and I enjoyed the mountains. It was very beautiful.
Well, I'm happy for you. I'm glad that you're back on the road. I'm glad you're getting to do live stand-up comedy. It sounds very wonderful.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm probably going to retire. Back to the Equips. So we live in the path of totality nearly, brother. We're totality adjacent. So we had to make the decision, are we going to get amongst the traffic and drive the 20 minutes out into the path of totality? Now there ain't no totality. Did you and Kels Dog, that's what I'm calling her now, did you guys I don't know if she'll love that, but I think it rings, I think it hums. Was there any visibility there in Minnesota? Did you do anything for the Equips?
I heard there was not. I was in Mesquite, Nevada. I was busy golfing with my high school friends and telling them to look right at the sun so I could blind them and then hopefully beat them in golf.
We just took like backwood roads up to Monroe, Ohio, and went to this little park where there were a bunch of people. And so Sunday, the baby has sunglasses.
Yeah.
But obviously he can't wear sunglasses. They're supposed to be real eye protection. So they're goggles that are sunglasses. So they
look adorable.
And so
it looks like he's from the future. It looks like he's a baby that was made in Blade Runner.
Yeah, it looks like somebody gave birth before the Star Trek ship could get back home.
Yeah.
And so we put those on him and Jenna's like, "Should he wear these?" And we weren't going to let him look at the sun, obviously. But I love that everybody there saw the goggles. The amount of people were like, it's special glasses. He can look at the sun. I go, I think that's just for adults. You know how many people I said it's just for adults to? So fucking funny. The look on all of their faces. Jenna couldn't keep it up. She's like, we know. I'm sorry about him. But me ramping up people's concerns, like, good Lord, don't let this baby stare at the Equips because you have baby goggles on him. That's insane. Let me ask you another question about the event. So you get these glasses and you're not supposed to look directly at it, but you can look at it. Do you think there's a limit? So because here's how it works. The total darkness goes on for just a couple of minutes, but it started at like 1 o'clock and it slowly started like, you know, Alfred Hitchcocking its way over, and then it goes away at the end. So it's like a 3-4 hour event. And so we walk down this path and there is a dad and his son, and they look like they're from, what's the movie? I'm blanking because I'm so tired. What is the movie with Terry Crews as president? It's
Idiocracy.
Mike Judge's Idiocracy. They have, I can't explain why, but they just have an Idiocracy vibe for them. If one of them went, "I'm just baiting," that would have totally checked out. Uh-huh. They're both sitting in their chair when we walk by for the first time. It's a dad and a son. They have their glasses on. Their heads are tilted back, staring directly at the sun. Both their mouths wide open as though the sun is going to, like the eclipse. They're like, "Hey, and just remember, when it's fully covered, it drips ice cream." And we walked by them when we first got there. And then we came back a couple times. They did that. They sat in lawn chairs with their heads looking at the sky the entire multi-hour period. And I wanted to say, "Hey, those are just from a gas station, man. I can't imagine this is a right decision." Do you think that was okay to do?
I think a lot of people had their mouth open during the eclipse because they started talking about how right before it became total darkness, there was a beam of light that could heal everything in you. And so that's probably why they had their mouth open, to enjoy that sunburst that was healing. And
if somebody would have told me that, I think I would have behaved differently.
I looked at the sun as a joke. I didn't actually look at it. I looked up in the sky and then fell down and started shaking.
That's, Jenna wouldn't let me do that. She was like, because
she knows she has to pull you back up. That's why.
I didn't want to fall down, but I wanted to just look up and then scream like, "My eyes." And I know that's very basic, but I think it plays.
I think it plays too, because then you have people concerned and now they're saying, "Fuck, do I look up?" It would have been better if you could have brought like food coloring, red food coloring, looked up and then had it in your eyes so you were dripping blood.
I love that anyone listening right now, because of the Robin situation in your house, you have to have the window open to try to prevent the robin from actually hitting it. Right. But because of that, it's springtime in Minnesota. So it
you can
does,
hear birds chirping.
It does sound like there's a bunch of birds making Cinderella's dress in the background.
Well, yeah, I don't know what else to do. I mean, I open the window a little bit to get the reflection off to the side. And now you're basically hearing an app, like a meditation app that you normally would have to pay $5.99 a month for, and I'm giving it to you for free.
For free.
Free.
You're getting a podcast and you're getting nature sounds. So, I mean, I don't know I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's actually a multi-valued situation that we've put together for the people. So
I'd like to just leave the microphone go. I leave the room, and all of a sudden we put this up on Patreon.
Can I tell you, speaking of needing a meditation app, you know how you come on this show and you're like, "Oh, I've got another airport story," and then you apologize for that and I kind of criticize it, and then the people are all like, "Oh, Chad's," and there's kind of this cute little merry-go-round that ride.
It's not cute, and then it's a meditation app, everyone listening. I know you might think it was a meditation nap. But for some reason, my partner in crime's tongue gets stuck on his soft palate a lot to hold.
It was really amazing that
Nashville nap. You also said merry grow round. Don't you dare, because it's fucking 7-1 right now. Don't you dare bring it up.
So, I'm going to enter your universe, because I get it. Okay. I took one trip. And I couldn't get through two airports because it was a layover. I couldn't get through two airports without an issue. Couldn't do it. So fly from Cincinnati to Charlotte. Have you been to the Charlotte airport?
I have.
Is that America's worst airport?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's close. So
I'd love to say yes, but I don't think so.
I land on one side and I have about 11 minutes to get to the other side, which I think is in northern South Carolina. So I've packed my rations and my camping gear, and I'm hoping to make it by nightfall. And so I get on one of the future sidewalks, and I'm walking down it, and as they have really long what are those things called? What's the real word?
Moving walkways.
Okay, yeah. So they have really...
Let me tell you something right now. And maybe you are one of these people, but you have a disease. Imagine waking up and going, I'm going to go stand on a moving walkway today.
You're going where I need you to be going. Thank you.
In the holy fuck are you just taking a breath? You know what? Pull over on a scenic view. Sit down on a bench.
They have rocking chairs in the Charlotte airport because some reason all Southern airports are like, well, we need a little taste of sweet tea vibes here. They have park it on a fucking rocking chair, bro.
And then the amount of looks I've gotten when I say, excuse me, I'm sorry, but you're blocking the fastest way to move in the fucking airport. Move over. I understand. Let's just call it as it is, and I don't care who's listening, and I don't care if feelings get hurt. The fact is, the people standing on a moving walkway are the ones that block the most of it. They're the ones that have to fucking stand because they're tired from taking the 14 steps from one moving walkway to the next moving walkway. And I'm not saying, like, don't be fat. I understand food is fucking delicious. Trust me when I tell you that. But also, you can't do that. Get on one of the carts. Do something else because you are basically, it's a microcosm of your heart situation. You are clogging a main artery because the rest of the blood is trying to fucking walk on this moving walk. It's not a moving standway. It's a moving walkway. It's in the name, for fuck's sake. And so walk on it. You don't walk. You don't stand on a walkway. And you know what? I'll tell you this. You don't walk on a standway. That's also rude. Follow the fucking rules. It's unbelievable. And then you go, excuse me. And they go, ugh. And maybe that's just like a breath, but it sounds like they're mad at you. And then you're like, well, what the fuck do you want me to do? So now guess I don't even take them. I don't even take them anymore. I get my automatic steps. I use the floor that doesn't move. And then I just go, all right. And then sometimes people are stopped there. And I go, this is where you do that.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you're here. And I'm happy that you're taking a break. And I'm happy you're not on a moving walkway. I'm sorry I freaked out, but it's too much. It's way too fucking much.
I don't need you to apologize at all. I need to tell you that sometimes when I am about to tell you something that I know might come back at me in a way that you're like, hey, yikes. Sometimes when I don't feel good walking into these, but I feel it's important to be an honest narrator, a reliable narrator to you.
And some of these fucking idiots stand where it says walk. They're like standing on the word walk. It says stand on one side, walk on another side, and they're literally standing on the word walk. Get fucking fucked. I'm sorry I'm freaking out.
So here's part two of what I'm about to tell you. Everything that just happened, I think Justin's going to have to cut it because you're going to have to give me all that. And I think I'm going to have to talk about this on stage because there has never been...
I'm not giving you anything. I already have a bit about this and that was it.
No. Well, then when we finally do the Middle of Somewhere tour to no fanfare,
That's not true. You had a ton of fans in Asheville.
We're going to have to do this together. This is going to have to be a little baby two-man game because let me tell you what happened to me.
Okay.
So I am the Charlotte because Charlotte is just like one long runway. That's what it feels like. You just walk. There's not a lot of turns. You just walk around. So their moving sidewalks, mm-hmm. moving walkways are very long. So I get off one and I'm going to the next one. And I get on it and I take a few steps and there is a couple, a young couple doing exactly what you described. They are parked on it like two semi trucks that aren't going to allow you to drive the way you want to drive on the highway. Like, hey, look at us. Oh, yeah. And so they're parked right there and I come up next to them and I am like, I'm focused on just get from place to place and don't cause any issues. That's right. Where my mind is at when that day, you know, when the morning started. You just don't cause an issue. So I go, ah, fuck. All right. So I just, and I could use a moment generally. So I go,
okay.
I can stand on the stand side, because there is a fucking stand side and a walk side. You're very right about that. It's painted.
I'm right about everything. What are we talking about?
So we get a little further down, and all of a sudden, here comes this business dad coming behind me. And I only say business dad because he had a polo and a vest over his polo. And yep. He is,
that's a great call,
in a hurry, but he's not being rude. So he gets up, he sees this situation, the log jam, and he goes, excuse me. Like he's urgent. He's got to go. And he goes, excuse me, he keeps saying it, and they're not paying any attention to him. They're facing the other way. And he goes, excuse me. And finally they turn around and he goes, excuse me. And so then the woman moves over, funny enough, to the walk side.
Yeah.
So they can let him pass on the stand side. And and you can see he's frantic. So I kind of move out of the way so he can get behind me or in front of me. And then I'm going to follow him now that there's a pathway.
Lead blocker, smart.
As he walks by this couple, the man in the couple goes like right to him, goes like almost to his face as he's walking by, goes, oh, I'm important. I'm in a hurry. Everybody, oh, excuse me. I'm important. Like mocking him.
Yeah.
And the business dad just keeps fucking pounding, moving, walkway. Mm-hmm. So he's gone. He doesn't give it any attention. And that gave me a level of rage that's, you know, pretty hard to describe. But you're not the only one who's out there working on themselves. I've been doing this thing where when I start to feel that, instead of reacting the way I normally want to react, what I've started doing is I try to appeal to people's humanity.
Okay. Well, my heart rate's at 130 right now just from hearing this story. So I don't know how my stuff's going, but I love the appeal you're making.
So I pass them and I just very politely go to the guy. I go, hey, man, everybody's just trying to get home to see their family or make a connection because of business or whatever. Airports are stressful places, and he's just trying to get where he's trying to get, man. And the guy looks at me, goes, was I talking to you? And now we're gonna, that whole humanity system's out the window.
That's what I'm saying. It's fucking wild. Cause first of all, hey bitch, you didn't say a name. So I don't know who you were talking to. Maybe you were talking to me. You weren't looking at anybody because you're a bitch. You were just saying it up to the sky. So maybe it was to me. So I don't know. So I hope you're about to tell me this is the first fight you've gotten in 5 years.
Well, so I strategically made sure it wasn't. But what I immediately said when he said that is I know. But like, it seemed like you weren't smart enough to understand how airports worked. So I thought somebody with a human brain should explain that to you.
Cyrus Amundsen.
Now, does it help that he has shown no willingness to move from his spot and I'm walking at double speed away from him? Yes, that gives me a little bit of confidence. And he just says back to me, he goes, was I talking to you? And I just go, no, you already said that one. This isn't helping the whole I think you're of a lower intellect thing that I think. And so now we're kind of chirping at each other, and I get off, and I have the irony in all this is it's a really long moving walkway. And so halfway through I go, oh, that's where I have to go. So like we went past my turn to the E to the E terminal. So I now have to get off. And I walk back the other way so I can go on E. So now he's riding and I'm walking back the other way, and he just goes, you weren't even going the right direction. Like he says, which is a pretty, you know, that's a pretty good burn. But but fuck this guy. And so as he's Jamiroquai'd, like I did the math in my head. Like he's moved far enough away from me and I'm far enough the other direction. Like if he were willing to jump both moving sidewalks because he's on the inside and race at me, I can still, like, I can shout, I can make a big fuss, and I can hide behind one of these, like, young female Panera workers. Like, I think I'm in a position to let one rip the way I used to before I was worried about myself. And so,
I love how you check for human shields and then you're like, okay, watch this.
Let's do it.
I love it.
So he is a young white guy and he's got a goatee and he's got a plain white t-shirt that is one size too big for him. And he's got a gold chain and he's got a little bit of spiky hair. And so as I was walking away, I said, good luck selling your white rap album out of the trunk of your car, you fucking loser.
Oh, I'm jacked up right now. You need to know that.
I very rarely am I really excited to tell you, like really excited to tell you something because I have a fun reveal for you. And even when I do, I don't like to hype it up, but just keep, there's one more step here. So I say that that's a win. Right? If nothing else happens, that's a win. That is, I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to feel good about it. You know, I'm going to take that one with me for a while.
At this point, are you nervous to get curb stomped by a pair of Air Force Ones?
So I did have that thing that I always have that my chest is going, we can't, don't get in an altercation. We can't breathe right now. But my, the angry part of my brain is like, push it down, deliver the line. And I think we've, you know, as a comedian, you've been like, we've done TV sets and we've done these things where we've had to speak and, you know, say things when there's a lot of pressure on. So the angry, like deliver the line part always works. And then afterwards I'm like, why do I have a stomach ache right now? And so I say the white rap album, but here's the thing.
I love listening to you tell this story.
So he has the girl in the couple is a young black woman.
Okay.
And the moment I said that rap line, she just went, oh, and just like looked down at the ground.
Yes.
like as if to say, oh no, he knows about the mixtape.
We call that striking a chord in the business.
And like, I don't want to, I don't want to, because she's black, I'm not trying to like put her in a racial box here. But like, I compared to like when somebody crosses someone over on And One mixtape, and the guy who's at center court just drops the mic and all of a sudden there's people just dancing at half court and shit.
Right.
And like, it's, she kind of had that energy, like, oh no, like somebody just got dogged in front of an arena. I think the truth hit her in that way. It was so good. It was such a nice moment. It got
me. I'm
proud
of you.
Thank you. It was really nice.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. Hey everybody, today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I know a lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, more time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to figure out how to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is by knowing what's important to you and knowing how to prioritize it while dealing with all the other things you have going on. Therapy is a tool that can help you do that, amongst many other things. Chad and I have talked about therapy often on this show. We are both believers in it. Perhaps you would like to figure out how to prioritize and focus your life. Perhaps you would like to deal with larger things, major trauma, you know, all sorts of issues, learn positive coping skills, how to set boundaries. Therapy is the way to go. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/somewhere today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/somewhere.
Can I tell you an airport story?
Yeah, why don't we just do that? Dude, it's the 50-year anniversary, maybe, allegedly. Why don't we just do airport stories and hillbilly voices the whole time?
I am going to tell you something that is pretty wild. So okay. here was my weekly travel, okay? Friday, I went to Madison, Wisconsin to watch Kelsey Cook Comedy record her special on Saturday.
Yep.
Okay, so I flew in Friday afternoon. Sunday morning, I get on a plane to fly to Las Vegas to meet my buddies in Mesquite, Nevada.
Okay.
Land, so I have a layover in Minneapolis, go to Las Vegas, drive up to Mesquite. That is Sunday afternoon I get there, and I basically have to pull my golf shorts up as I'm walking onto the tee box because I had to tee off immediately.
Okay.
Then we go to dinner after that. I'm so tired. I go back to the room, fall asleep at 8 p.m.
Hey, that's a win for you, though.
Yeah.
With the sleep issues. Yeah.
Get up the next morning at 6 a.m. and I'm golfing 36 holes. So we golf 36 holes. After that, there's enough time to go watch the end of the NCAA championship men's basketball game and gamble a little bit.
There we go.
Won $1,000. No big
deal. There we go.
Go back, try to sleep. Cannot sleep this night. That's okay. Then get up Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock to golf again. Golf normally takes 4.5 hours. It took 6 hours and 15 minutes on Tuesday. So I had to immediately get my clubs. I had to leave before everyone else left the golf course. Mm-hmm. I had to bring them to the hotel. I had to pack everything in my little hard case for my golf clubs. I had to put a label on it for FedEx to come pick up. Then I had to drive 1.5 hours back to Las Vegas to go to the airport to take off. And I had hardly any time to do this. Now, here is a couple of things. I rented a car from Turo, which is where you rent a car from a person.
Oh, this is Airbnb for cars.
It's the Airbnb of cars. And so you can call the person and go, hey, man, instead of meeting me in short-term parking, can you meet me on the curbside for mm-hmm. departures mm-hmm. so I can throw you the keys and go into the airport?
Yep.
So I'm telling you, every single thing had to happen perfectly. I went through airport security. Nobody was there. The only thing I was worried about was the tram. Tram picks me up. I've run in an airport 2 times in my life, and this was one of them. I'm running because they're calling my name, and I just go, I'm here. And then someone else, like halfway in between me and the door, goes, he's here. Doesn't have any idea who I am. And then people start going, he's here. And so it finally gets their attention. Like fucking 15 people are yelling, he's here. So I'm running and everyone's like starts cheering. It was the greatest thing in the world. And I made my flight to get back for Kelsey Cook Comedy's birthday. And then had to get on a flight to Brooklyn the next day. Then the next day a flight to Boston. Then the next day a flight home. So there's a lot of flying. But I will tell you, that is the greatest airport situation I've ever had where nothing went wrong. Everything had to go perfectly right for me to make this flight. Or the next flight was in 8 hours and it was a red eye. So I would have had to been on a flight that left at 12:53 a.m. versus 5 p.m. And so I'm so happy about this. But here's what I say. I go, I know how this works. When everything happens right on one travel day, mm-hmm. The world is about to fall down upon you your next travel day.
Correct. Do you think you will be able to, when that happens, do you think you'll be able to, oh, wait.
It already happened.
Excuse me. Part two. Proceed, Chad. It wouldn't be an anniversary without Cy interrupting at a point that didn't help anything.
No, it was so wild. I end up going to Brooklyn. Everything was fine. Blah, 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 blah. Even though, I don't know if you know this, in New York City, and I'm sure a lot of people have this problem, but it does take you 57 minutes to go 9 miles, which is wild. Ugh. Because Imagine being a Kenyan and you're just like, nah, fuck it, I'll run because it's faster. That's pretty insane. And so, by the way, I want you guys to know Si's laughing, but he's covering it up because we don't know if that's racist. I don't think it is.
I'm not covering it up. Don't do that to me.
Okay, that's fair. So I land in Boston and I go, okay. So I go on Lyft and I'm like, downtown courtyard. Well, what I don't know is it says courtyard downtown, but then it's cut off. And then there are like 50 words behind it. There are so many Boston downtown courtyards with different words behind them to let you know. It's like, you know, University of Minnesota Crookston.
Sure.
But if you don't know that, if you're trying to put in University of Minnesota, well, you're fucked because you're going to end up in Crookston, which is 7 hours away. So anyways, I get to the wrong place and I go, hey, man, Daniels is my last name.
Question. You're still in New York?
I'm in Boston at this point.
So, okay, now we are in Boston. All right, yeah. I got you. Keep going.
Yeah. And I stayed in a place called Liberty View Hotel in Brooklyn, thinking that there was going to be a view of the Statue of Liberty. Beautiful view of Napa Auto Parts across the street. Gorgeous view. If you love auto parts, let me recommend this hotel.
You had a suite with a Napa view?
Yeah. Big time.
That's great. Muffler view? I love a good muffler view.
I will tell you, this hotel, I talk shit because I didn't read any of the fine print. I mean, it would probably cost a lot more if you could see the Statue of Liberty from your window. Yeah. But I had a toilet that was plugged into the wall, heated seat, fucking remote control that you take off the wall and use the bidet with a remote. Oh, ooh. Come on. Yep. Didn't get a lot of sleep that night either for different reasons. Now, I get to Boston. I go to this hotel. I go, my name's Chad Daniels. Can you let me have a room? And they go, we don't have a reservation. And I go, okay. So I call my manager. I go, can you give me the confirmation number? And whatever. I get the confirmation number. And I go up there with confidence. And I go, would this help you? In a nice way. But I was like, how you like me now?
Yeah.
And they look it up and they go, oh, you're at the wrong hotel. And I was like, is this the downtown courtyard? They go, yeah, it's the downtown courtyard, blah, blah, blah. And they go, you're looking for the downtown courtyard, blah, blah, blah. And so I go, all right. So I get in another Lyft for another 15 minutes. Ugh. And guess what I did? Wrong fucking hotel again. So then I go to this new person. I go, I'm going to need the address. I can't the name clearly isn't working. I'm so fucking mad at this point. Then I go to the show at the Wilbur. What a great show. This kid, Dan Bulger, opened for me. Fucking hilarious. And then the show was outstanding. This guy came through the merch line and he goes, just so you know, anytime someone asks me to do something at the office that I don't want to do, I just tell them I have a disease. And we laughed and laughed and laughed about that.
What do you think? So, you know, you're doing a lot of comedy and I'm doing very little comedy, but it turns out the sort of comedy that I like to do is, spend so much money that I just barely don't make money. That's how it appears that my tour is going to go.
That's going to be good for taxes.
I'm going to just barely lose money. And rather than coming up with merch, I think I'm just going to, just eat it and think about it a lot, Yeah. So what are you selling for merch right now?
I have a tour t-shirt.
Okay.
That I'm selling. I have a Drive Safe Don't Rape t-shirt.
Okay.
I have a Drive Safe Don't Rape koozie. Mm-hmm. I have stickers. I have keychains. I got with this company.
You're like a fucking souvenir shop. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I got with this this merch company and they make all this stuff and they ship it to where I'm going. And it does cost, a decent amount. Some venues take a percentage of how much you make, and then you have to pay a seller on top of it. So it does sometimes, you kind of go, what the fuck am I doing? But I love saying hi to everybody that comes to the show.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Wilbur's a theater, and there were so many fucking people there, and I just sat out. It was so fun getting to talk to people. Even people that didn't buy merch came by, and they, hey man, saw you at Laugh Boston last time. This is fucking great. So it was very fun. And that happens everywhere. I mean, as you know, we talked about it before the show, people are coming through like, dude, not to get too crazy here, not to get too in the feels, but listening to this podcast got me through the last year of COVID or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And you just go, oh shit, I've wanted to quit this podcast over a thousand times.
Yeah, it is.
And now I can't. Shut the fuck up.
All this time that I have made fun of you for your like really emotional, like I just had such a good time in South Lake Tahoe. Thank you for everyone. I spent one weekend in front of, you know, a few people in Asheville and I'm like, I'd just like to come back and say that everyone who showed up is part of the greatest generation. And like it, it is, it was, you know, you're it, Asheville was really, really amazing. Everybody who came out, thank you so much. It was so wonderful. Same thing you said, to meet everybody. Cody Walker, our show, our Cincinnati producer, got his first little taste of the road and boy, lapped it right up. He didn't even, dude, here's the thing. You know, I've been taking Mike Cronin on the road for years, and he always makes such a big deal about all the stuff. I'm like, hey, stay in the cage, perform sexually on me. All the things that I have Mike do when he opens for me, Mike complains about them a lot. This is dehumanizing. It's crazy. Cody was just like, yum, 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 yum. He just danced along with it. So good sets by Cody. Way to play along, play by the rules, understand the power dynamic of comedy on the road. Yeah. Unlike one of, I don't know, what did you, you think Mike's one of the 10 worst comedians in America?
I'm just glad that Cody gave you good sex on the road.
Yeah, nice. Good sets, good sex. And Cody did a fantastic job. The woman who books that place, Melissa Hahn, I think she's the best independent booker in America. She does a fantastic job. So that was really nice. But in addition to me not having merch to bridge my inability to buy it's not that that I didn't earn anything. It's that I was like, what if I bought my plane ticket at a time in which my family had to worry about some stuff? What if I did that?
Sure. Yeah.
And so, and
that
then
sounds like you.
Yes, and then I get down there, and you know me, Papa likes to spend. So you put me in these little artsy stores with people's cool stuff, and I'm like just buying shit that I shouldn't, that we don't need. But so there was a, like, we went to this one store, and we were talking to the woman. The people who run these shops, they're always interesting, eclectic, like, I actually know the whole history of Eastern Asheville. And I know you just asked me if I had change for a 10, but here's my speech. And so very nice. But so they had at this one place, they had, you remember the old cigarette machines? You put your money in and you pull the thing and the cigarette drops out like a public. So those didn't become illegal. And I don't know where they became illegal everywhere else, but this feels late-ish. Those did not become illegal in North Carolina until like 1997.
Okay.
When was it? Was it in the 90s or was it back when you were in your 20s in the 70s when they outlawed them other places? When
I honestly don't remember. I was so busy working a full-time job and raising a family in the 70s that I didn't have time to pay attention to that.
And plus, with all the news about serial killers, that was really dominating the zeitgeist at that time. You can't, whether or not, you know, back then, cigarettes were still probably considered healthy when you grew up. And so, but that's what they've done in the Carolinas, and then this guy basically took an old cigarette machine and he replaced it with little boxes, cigarette-sized boxes of local art.
And, interesting.
Yeah, so like there's a spool of rice paper with a painting on it and a macrame thing and all these like local artists, they put their boxes in there, you put $5 in the machine, you pull, you get one out. And I love a machine that pulls. So I obviously support the arts, and she tells
you like
us,
a machine that pulls and spins.
Oh yeah. I like it. Yeah. I would say I like a machine that pulls. I would say twists.
And I would spins and socks. Spins and socks?
I would say, and also you can bop it. I like
Sucks
a machine
tits, you
that you can.
Sucks these tits, you bitch.
It was like a war of two terrible. Which one of us? Is he going to get his German sucks these tits, you bitch? Or is Cy going to make it very clear that he's talking about a bop it from his childhood? Twist it. Bop it. So I, anyway, I'm getting the whole speech. This guy started these cigarette stuff, and then they put them all. They're all over the world now, and whatever. That's interesting. Yeah. So I buy a little piece of rice paper for $5, and then I am walking around, and then there's this like amazing thing in the back. It's called Art of Abandonment. Okay. So it's these huge prints. Some of them are on metal, which I'm not really into, but then there's like, you know, regular prints, and they're all these pictures, like these beautifully saturated, well-done pictures of abandoned sites, like an abandoned bowling alley and overrun with grass and like these beautiful complexes and things that have just been left to rot and nature has started to take them back over. And so I was like, I'm going to buy one of these books. And so I bring it up to the counter, and she actually, one of the more interesting stories I've heard from an eclectic shop lady. Okay. She says, so this guy, his name is Walter Arnold.
Okay.
So at some point, Ron Howard was having like a like weirdest picture contest or most interesting picture contest. And this guy was just like a fucking banker in Asheville. And when he was down in Georgia, he saw this like, and he was like, photography was a hobby. And mm-hmm. so he took a picture of this, plane that had crashed and no one had found, that he saw it in the woods. It was overrun with grass and stuff. It's this beautiful picture. He sends it in. He wins.
Oh, nice.
So then Ron Howard makes a short film about him. And so now he's no longer a banker. He's finished that part of his career, and he's just a pure artist. And he travels around the country taking all these pictures of these beautiful abandoned things. You, like I said, you can look it up. It's called The Art of Abandonment. It's really beautiful and really interesting. And then she said, the really crazy thing is he's been doing this for so long and so successfully that now, as society and time has changed so much, where we used to just be like, ah, fuck it, that used to be a bowling alley and we don't really pay any attention anymore. So now it looks like Jumanji. Somebody played Jumanji in there and rolled the wrong thing. And so she goes, the tough thing is society doesn't really let things abandon the way they used to. Mm-hmm. And so now anytime he learns about something or can find something, that's, he's got to jump through all this red tape, and they're like, we're actually trying to restore it. Like, it's way harder for him to get the pictures. So he's trying to figure out what to do. And one of the things she said he was doing was, you know, some of the original places he went to that they've now restored, going back and taking pictures of them now that they're restored. And I,
like, where are they now? Right.
Yeah. And I will tell you, there was a Dale Chihuly exhibit, and I love the glassblower Chihuly, and in Asheville when we were down there, and I literally got this book and then started reading it like a kid who's really into dinosaurs. Like, have you heard of Tyrannosaurus Rex? There's Triceratopses, like that sort of shit. And so I didn't even go to see my favorite artist, one of my favorite artists, because I'd found this new guy that I was infatuated with. And then I'm starting to get worried that, like, well, God, this guy's done this amazing thing and it's so unique and I've never seen anything like it before. He's not going to have a career because stuff doesn't abandon. And here's my thought. What if we send him to the Charlotte airport? I bet he finds that fucking loser just overgrown with weeds floating down a fucking walking sidewalk, because there's no way that guy has moved yet. Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.